Chapter 24. He looked piteously, but slowly rose and did so. Yet what a mockery it is, miss, he said with his hand upon his heart, and shaking his head at me in a melancholy manner over the tray, to be stationed behind food at such a moment. The soul recoils from food at such a moment, miss. I beg you to conclude, said I. You have asked me to hear you out, and I beg you to conclude. I will, miss, said Mr. Guppy. As I love and honor, so likewise I obey. Would that I could make thee the subject of that vow before the shrine. That is quite impossible, said I, and entirely out of the question. I am aware, said Mr. Guppy, leaning forward over the tray and regarding me, as I again strangely felt, though my eyes were not directed to him, with his latent look, I am aware, that in a worldly point of view, according to all appearances, my offer is a poor one. But, Miss Summerson, Angel, no, don't ring. I have been brought up in a sharp school, and am accustomed to a variety of general practice. Though a young man, I have ferreted out evidence, got up cases, and seen lots of life. Blessed with your hand, what means might I not find of advancing your interests and pushing your fortunes? What might I not get to know, nearly concerning you? I know nothing now, certainly. But what might I, not if I had your confidence, and you set me on? I told him, that he addressed my interest, or what he supposed to be my interest quite as unsuccessfully as he addressed my inclination, and he would now understand, that I requested him, if he pleased, to go away immediately. Cruel miss, said Mr. Guppy, hear but another word. I think you must have seen, that I was struck with those charms on the day, when I waited at the Wittorceller. I think you must have remarked, that I could not forbear a tribute to those charms, when I put up the steps of the Acme coach. It was a feeble tribute to thee, but it was well meant. Thy image has ever since been fixed in my breast. I have walked up and down of an evening opposite Jellyby's house, only to look upon the bricks, that once contained thee. This out of today, quite an unnecessary out so far as the attendance, which was its pretended object, went, was planned by me alone for thee alone. If I speak of interest, it is only to recommend myself and my respectful wretchedness. Love was before it, and is before it. I should be pained, Mr. Guppy, said I, rising and putting my hand upon the bell rope, to do you or anyone who was sincere the injustice of slighting any honest feeling, however disagreeably expressed. If you have really meant to give me a proof of your good opinion, though ill-timed and misplaced, I feel that I ought to thank you. I have very little reason to be proud, and I am not proud. I hope, I think I added, without very well knowing what I said, that you will now go away, as if you had never been so exceedingly foolish, and attend to Messrs. Kenge and Carboy's business. Half a minute, miss, cried Mr. Guppy, checking me as I was about to ring. This has been without prejudice? I will never mention it, said I, unless you should give me future occasion to do so. A quarter of a minute, miss. In case you should think better at any time, however distant, that's no consequence, for my feelings can never alter of anything I have said. Particularly what might I not do, Mr. William Guppy, 87, Penton Plus, or if removed, or dead, of blighted hopes or anything of that sort, care of Mrs. Guppy, 302, Old Street Road, will be sufficient. I rang the bell, the servant came, and Mr. Guppy, laying his written card upon the table and making a dejected bow, departed. Raising my eyes as he went out, I once more saw him looking at me, after he had passed the door. I sat there for another hour more, finishing my books and payments, and getting through plenty of business. Then I arranged my desk, and put everything away, and was so composed, and cheerful that I thought I had quite dismissed this unexpected incident. But, when I went upstairs to my own room, I surprised myself by beginning to laugh about it, and then surprised myself still more, by beginning to cry about it. In short, I was in a flutter for a little while, and felt as if an old cord had been more coarsely touched than it ever had been since the days of the dear old doll, long buried in the garden. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.